Welcome to Fresh Off the Set. I'm Carrie Hawker-Diaz.
And I'm Brooke Mangum. Thanks so much for joining us today.
You know what I just realized? I'm wearing my, like, I don't need this.
You look really official. She's wearing her name badge. I think I've known you for almost, like, what, 10, 15 years?
And now it's connected to this. Hold on one
moment. Oh, Carrie, you're a mess.
We come right after the show up here, and, like, it's all still on me.
Come on now. They barely let me do these podcasts, all right? I need to, perform.
We're breaking all the rules. Okay, I have to tell you, I found this list of baby names. Now, you have to think of it a different way. So I have names that basically you have to forget that you know what it means.
Okay.
These words, and if it would actually make a good baby name.
So if it's pretty, like if it's...
Yes.
Okay.
So I forget what it means, which is really hard to do with these, okay?
Okay, okay.
And tell me if you think they'd be great names. Vendetta.
No, that you can't. Vendetta?
Kind of pretty if you didn't know what it was.
V for Vendetta. I'm just thinking I'm like death and yes. No.
You can't get it out of your head.
You can't separate that.
Ready for the next one? Omelette.
We're not Gwyneth Paltrow here. Like, you know what? I bet there is a celebrity that is going to name their kid Omelette.
I know. Feta was the other one.
Feta?
Yeah.
I feel like that one you could get away with, maybe.
I think you could.
I think that one's Gouda.
Yeah. Ah! You're okay. So cheesy, Brooke. You're so
thank
cheesy.
You. Thank you. I'll be here all day.
Gosh. You ready?
I'll be here all day.
Asphyxia.
No.
Doesn't it? I saw you almost hold your breath.
Yeah, well, because I think of something like horrible on that. And then also, you know, as TV people, we have to read people's names and teleprompters all the time.
It's hard.
Let's get back to Sally, Jane, Skip.
Like, John Smith.
Help me. I struggle already. Okay. Like, please help me.
Well, just wait till you hear the rest of these. Chlamydia.
That you cannot name your kid. Chlamydia. I'm sorry.
You can't escape what it means.
No, there's no point. Like, that's somebody that doesn't know what that is, right? If your kid is named Chlamydia, I'm so sorry.
Chlamydia, get in here and clean your room.
Yeah, just yell. They're going to have a really hard time in health class when they learn what that is.
You are right. Okay, I have a couple more. Felony.
Felony? You're just asking your kid to go to prison. You are. It's like you've given up. You might as well just sign them up.
It kind of rolls off the tongue. Felony.
Felony.
Felony. Insomnia. I know what that is.
These
so I can't
aren't, like even a good name. Like what? Because I believe that a good name, you have to be able to have an easy nickname, right? What are you supposed to call insomnia? Insomnia. Mia?
Mia?
You
Mia.
Should go with Mia.
Mia's cute. Patch.
Patch.
It's
I'm
cute.
Okay with that.
I think that one could work.
You're going to run into a lot of dogs also named Patch. But Patch is okay.
Patch.
Like I didn't Patch Adams. Like,
here's another works. Gwyneth Paltrow. Almond.
Almond. No. No. What is wrong with people? Get it together.
And the last one, placenta.
Placenta. Well, you know, you came from it, and now you
might
are.
Might as well name it after something,
you
right?
You might as well. You know what? It's hard being a parent, and like it is a heavy responsibility.
It's hard to pick names.
To
it
pick
is.
A name, and they're going to be stuck with it. I had a hard time naming somebody I'd never met. So I kind of was like, I haven't met you. I feel like I should probably know you before I name you.
That's
you know,
true,
like that
before
kind of
you
idea.
Even see them.
There's
yeah.
a lot of big decisions that come with being a parent, though.
Yeah.
You're like, especially like as a woman, it's like, am I going to do the formula? Am I going to breastfeed? Mm-hmm. Like, how do I navigate this? Well, I've got a story about, I think it's a warning, really. This is a warning. A woman joined Reddit to talk about something that happened with her. It was an incident with her in-laws. She's got a 15-month-old son, and she's still nursing. She explained that he likes breast milk. She has good milk. It's working out for
her. How old did you say? How old?
15 months.
Okay.
So, like, that's a lot. Like, that's a commitment. Like, I couldn't do it.
Props to you.
So she'll use her breast milk to, like, put it on her son's cereal and stuff like that because he has teeth. But
you don't want to waste it.
You don't want to waste it. The nutrition value is awesome.
Sure.
So she was feeding her son some cereal, you know, an average morning. And then she was going to go take her son up for his nap. And she left the cereal on the counter.
Uh-oh.
I think you can tell where this is going.
Uh-oh.
Father-in-law, who is staying at the house, steps in. She comes down from putting her son to sleep to find her father-in-law finishing
ooh.
The bowl of cereal with the breast milk in question. And so she did something I wouldn't have done. She told him. I would have just laughed and kept that with me.
That's
but
the question is, do you say something,
you
do you
say
not?
Say something or not. She told him she's a better person than I am. And he was, of course, just looked like he was going to vomit right there on the floor, disgusted by it. And where this story gets strange, like you think it would just kind of gross, you laugh it off. the mother-in-law then starts getting mad at the daughter-in-law saying, you know that he likes to finish other people's food.
Oh my gosh.
Like thinking it was her fault that this terrible thing had happened to him. Can we just normalize, don't steal other people's food?
I mean, it happens everywhere. I feel like here at work, we get notes all the time. Someone stole someone's lunch.
Threatening notes?
You don't know, people, it might be breast milk.
You don't know. Like, if you don't know what's in it, don't put it in your mouth.
You don't.
Okay?
Don't.
That's my lesson of this. I think this woman is fine. Like,
other thing is, would you want to know if you were the father-in-law?
No.
Would you want to know?
Don't tell me.
I wouldn't either. Don't tell me.
Did I enjoy my breakfast? It's fine. My sister-in-law was like this, but she was like, she had a lot of milk, so she started using it to cook. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was at a family gathering and they looked like the most delicious brownies ever. And I'm like going over to them and she said, hey, just so you know, I made those with my breast milk. And I went, you did not. Like, I'm thinking she's making a joke.
Right.
And my brother looks at me and gives me like this face of like shaking me
she's
off.
She's not kidding.
She's not kidding. If you eat that brownie, just know.
Just know.
I did not eat the brownie. I don't need to know anybody that well. I'm good. I'm good. But it's not, it's natural, right?
Like, you know, and it's hard to breastfeed. I can say that coming from personal experience. So you don't want to waste it. Like,
yeah,
I get that.
It's liquid gold, right?
It is, I would not want to know. So don't tell me.
Don't tell me. Yeah. If I already ate it, am I happy? Don't tell me.
Don't tell me.
Don't tell me. Just let it go.
Just let it go. All right. Well, maybe breast milk,
transition out of this one, Carrie.
Give you long life. I don't know. Okay. Maybe.
Nice.
I found this story and I didn't tell you what this was because I want your reaction.
Uh-oh.
America's oldest person credits wine for her long life.
Of course she does.
So she is, guess how old she is?
She's got to be in like triple digits, right?
She's 116.
Wow.
She celebrated her 116th birthday this week. So her name is Edie Cesarelli. I hope I'm saying that right. Who has outlived all six of her younger siblings, says the secret to her success is two fingers of red wine and minding my own business.
That is solid advice. Only two fingers, though. She's being very, like, I think you could up it a little bit. You know, you've made it this far. I think you deserve it.
I mean, why not? Go for it, right?
But I, you know what I think that it all goes down to? I think it's stress.
It's stress, right?
Stress management. I think that when you don't, minding your own business, and then, you know, if like having, like, it's good for the antioxidants, right?
It is. It's good. It's good for you. Edie, who also, this is the woman who also happens to be the second oldest person in the entire world. So she was born in 1908 to Italian immigrant parents who also live well into their 90s. So her parents lived, you know,
pretty old. It sounds old like too. All these people are Italian. I think that might help too. It's
maybe
the pasta.
You're the pasta.
It's the pasta and the wine.
You know what? Hey, I'll do it. Fine.
I'm in. Yeah.
I'm really, really great with pasta, wine, and minding my own business.
Yes. I'm all about the minding your own business. The two fingers of wine, I'm gonna struggle with.
You're gonna up that.
I'm a little heavier or poorer than our friend there. But
good job, Edie.
But I also feel like we stress more. These younger generations are more like hot and bothered by little things, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true.
I think because this next story can tell you that, I can tell you how old you are if you're a millennial or a Gen Z just by looking at your socks.
Oh my gosh.
Should we do a sock check right now?
Yeah. What are yours?
So here we go. We've got our very own Gen Z is in here in the house producing.
Hannah's
okay.
Hannah's producing. Out
so let's go. I am wearing boots.
Okay.
And I am in ankle socks.
You're like no-show socks.
No-show socks.
You're even like, okay.
I am like, dude, I don't want anybody to even know I'm wearing socks. Like, that's the, even in boots, I'm
you
wearing
You like
them
hidden.
Okay, Hannah, where
okay,
we
Hannah,
at?
Where we that's at?
It. Let's see.
Oh,
the
she's,
full
okay.
show socks. She's got
so it's
a
about
cute
halfway
pattern.
Up and the cute pattern. Okay, I have no socks because I have like open-toed shoes on. But I walked in today with yoga pants and I had my socks over my yoga pants like halfway up.
Well, Carrie, I think when we get into physical fitness, like everything goes out the like the window here. But that is the check. We nailed it. That's it. If you are a Gen Z, you're more likely to have longer socks and to be showing them off. And millennials are all about the ankle socks.
Interesting. Is it just in our head? Because like back in the day, we didn't like in sports,
ankle
and
socks
you didn't want them seen.
It. Like that's everybody wore ankle socks, right?
Well, they like, elongate your leg. Like I worry, I probably shouldn't be wearing them half up because like I have really short legs and a long torso. So like wearing socks halfway up my calf, it makes them look even shorter.
Right. I'm like, no, like I, even in boots, I'm wearing ankle socks. It's a comfort for me. Okay. And also like, I can't get into the styling of the socks. I feel like when I'm wearing like the taller socks that have some kind of like graphic on it,
yeah.
It just makes me look older. Like all of a sudden it's like, look,
you're trying
you're
a to mall be, walker.
I'm trying all to of be, sudden. Yeah. And it's like, I'm trying to be cool and I'm not doing it well.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should try it. Maybe we can see if we look younger. We'll walk around the office. Hey.
With our cool socks. Yeah. I don't know about that, Carrie. I don't know. But I'm going to be doing my ankle socks. That's it.
For a while.
And my support hose. Because, yeah, that's also
and
life,
Spanx,
right?
For me. Spanx for life. Okay. I want to see if you've heard of this theory. It's called the orange peel theory. Have you heard of this?
No idea.
Okay. It's on TikTok. So it's the younger kids are talking about that. Speaking of younger kids. As the name suggests, you need an unpeeled orange to try out the experiment for yourself. So from there, all you need to do is simply hand the orange to your partner, your spouse, anyone you hope will one day be your partner or spouse. And then do they peel it for you? So you're going to take note. No questions asked. Or do they look at you with raised eyebrows or simply ignore it? The very small, insignificant seeming task of peeling an orange for your love, this is what this article says, without being asked, is proof that a partner truly loves and appreciates them. Thoughts?
My husband would be like, what, do you want me to make a drink or something? Like, but if I handed my husband an orange, do I tell him to peel it? He wouldn't even know what to do. He'd just look at me like, what are you doing with this orange?
Like, what are you absolutely doing? There is so some origin. So it goes back. You see, peeling oranges for your beloved is well chronicled in a few poems from Wendy Cope and Jean Little and The Golden Girl, a song from Frank Ocean's album Channel Orange, starts off with the lines, she peels an orange for us in the morning and she woke me up to give me half. So it's kind of like saying, I guess, like a nice gesture, an act of service, love language of, you know, that's what they're saying. I'm going to test this. I'm going to do it and see what happens. Because once you've been married for a really long time.
I was just going to say, if you've been married for more than 7 years,
yeah,
I don't think they're peeling the orange anymore.
I don't think so, especially if you have kids.
But I'm the orange peeler. Like if yeah. I asked him, like, will you peel an orange for me? I think he will peel an orange. But if I just right. handed the orange to him, he'd look at me like, what do you want me to do with this thing?
What am I doing? Am I juggling?
Am I juggling? Like, yeah, what's yeah. like, what are
Nick
we doing
Nick would
here?
Probably, my husband would probably think it's for our daughter. Like, are you peeling this for, do you need me to do this right. for our daughter? I don't know.
This gets to a larger thing that I think you need to tell husbands what to do and what you need from them.
Yeah, we need to be specific.
You gotta be really specific or he's just gonna look at me like, what?
What's happening? Another person said, a peeled orange alone cannot entirely determine a successful or healthy
okay.
relationship.
Now
in the
we
long
got
run.
Somebody that somebody's got their head on their
There's
shoulders.
Someone level headed. They said, you know what? They're not magic eight balls. Okay. You're not gonna know if like the relationship is gonna work or not based on that. So
no orange.
There's hope.
No deal.
There's hope.
There is hope out there. Carrie, I'm wondering, I don't think that you would pass this test, and I know I certainly wouldn't as okay. well. A woman puts a hotel on blast for charging her $150 for makeup-stained towels.
Ooh, guilty.
I'm so guilty. And they have the white, like, what am I supposed to do? I try my best. I try not to destroy a hotel room. I'm not the Rolling Stones.
Why?
Like,
good.
Like, I try my best, but yeah. also it's like, isn't that the whole point of the hotel? Like, it's my room for the night, right? I'd like, what am I supposed to do? Like, wipe my face on the carpet? Like,
well,
I gotta dry it off.
In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, they do white towels because they're gonna throw them in with bleach and they're, you know, yeah. they're wanting to be like sanitary. So it's gonna get it out anyways. But I'm guilty of that. I will sit on the bed and I do makeup with a towel uh-huh. and I'm kind of wiping things, you know, my makeup.
I think that most people that have worked at a hotel would agree that a makeup stained towel is probably the least of their concerns. Like, if you think about how, like, hotel rooms, all the stories that you hear about on the news. Like, I think my towel is not that big of a deal.
Yeah. Like, if I'm cleaning a room and I see a makeup soaked towel, I'm like, great. Like, not a big
and
deal.
I will admit that when I'm in a hotel room, I'm a worse person, right? Like, I all of a sudden, I don't put things away because I know it's not my thing.
Do you like, put towels like I will?
In the ground.
I like, know. Yeah, I do too. Ball. But I don't do that at home.
No, I would never do that at home.
I guess we need to be better people. Like, all around.
Like, I do try and like think of like, that not making it gross for the person that has to come in there. But I'm, what do you want me to do with the towel? At least I didn't steal it.
At least we didn't right? take it.
I didn't take the towel.
No, we don't take those. No. Well, I do have one more story. Do we have time for one more quick one?
Oh, one more quickie?
Yeah. All right. Speaking of gross things and hotels, this isn't a hotel, but there's this guy, Brooke, that has gone viral after eating raw chicken for 25 days.
Oh, he's dead.
25 days. So a man in Florida has given an interview saying he's totally fine after eating raw chicken for 25 days.
Let's check back in a few days.
Let's do that. This guy who goes by John says it tastes like scallops and that he'll keep going for 100 more days or until he's hospitalized. He's from Florida.
There, that, yes. That was implied by the headline.
He's the picture of health after chowing down on raw chicken for 25 days straight. He documents it. So you're like, oh, do we believe him? So he documents it. And he claims that he will continue to eat raw meat until he gets a tummy ache.
A tummy ache. That's a technical term.
Or death. I hope you don't die, John. That's scary, risky business.
Like, is there like a benefit to this? He just likes the taste?
I think it says he's just trying to prove that you can do it. He said
until
he's
the day he dies,
salmonella.
Which will be sometime next week.
He says he's remained salmonella free for the past month and he only eats chicken from a local farm.
Okay.
So that's what he's saying has kept him so healthy. But he's
Well, is it worth it? And then I think about how much cookie dough I've eaten over the course of my life. Maybe
same.
I too am cheating death like this man.
Same.
With the raw chicken. But for the cookie dough, I get it. The raw chicken.
That just wouldn't taste good.
No.
That's just like, you know, scallop then. If it tastes like scallop,
I'm
going to
do
scallop.
He did 25 days. I will eat raw cookie dough for 25 days.
Let's check in with you later.
Just to see how this all goes.
Oh, gosh.
Or until I get a tummy ache. Or die. That guy, right?
Okay. We don't wish that for anyone. So please be careful out there. Don't eat your raw chicken.
Cook your food. Wash your hands.
And watch Fresh Living and listen to Fresh Off the Set.
Yep. That's it. That's all advice.
Okay. This has been fun. Now, what did we learn today?
We learned that your socks tell you who you are. Don't eat cereal that doesn't belong to you.
And definitely don't eat cereal with raw chicken.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Drink a lot of wine.
Drink a lot of wine. Don't name your kid chlamydia. And be careful with the hotel towels. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
You're welcome. And thank you for listening to another episode of Fresh Off the Set. Please rate, review, and subscribe, and we will see you next week. Congrats, you made it to the end. If you want to continue to freshen up your day, you can watch us on Fresh Living every weekday on CBS Channel 2 in Utah at 1 o'clock. You can also watch us on our YouTube channel, KUTV Fresh Living, and follow us on social media. We will see you next week.